Vengeance and Verity. A Doomat fic written by Raggedy Red and read by 42 Do Not Panic. Summary: Matt Murdock isn't at all positive that he's thinking clearly. He isn't positive about a lot of things right now, actually, but he knows that he is pissed off at looking for a fight, and this time he has some very specific people in mind. Matt Murdock isn't at all positive that he's thinking clearly. He isn't positive about a lot of things right now, actually, but he knows that he is pissed off and looking for a fight. And this time, he has some very specific people in mind. Last night, he'd been careless. He hadn't been paying attention. He, Jean-Paul, got hurt in Hell's Kitchen, Daredevil's domain, during Daredevil's hours, while he was out looking for Matt because he... Matt grits his teeth and drops his head against the side of the building. The anger is too hot and too fast, and he can feel it roiling to his surface in several reckless waves. He can't think straight. It's his fault. But he knows exactly what those muggers smelt like. And frankly, that's going to need to be enough. People seeking opportunities to hurt random passers-by at night rarely stop at one victim, especially if they aren't stopped in the act, caught, and shown to justice. So, that night, when he prowls, he's searching. He's doing his due work in the meantime, stopping those robberies, those assaults, those who haven't yet learned that it's worth it to fear the devil. When he finds them, Matt feels himself sharpen. His truncheons are strapped to his thighs as he cocks his head and listens to the group of them. For, just like Jean-Paul described, and that scent still lingers. A familiar gunpowder, the citrine edge of some cologne, a powdery, too woody aftershave. There are other things, too. Knives, stuffed backpacks, something sulfuric. But it's not important. There is it again. His own vitriol, his own frustration, his anger at having not done enough. It is his damn fault these idiots hurt Jean-Paul, and he's going to make sure they never hurt him or anyone else ever again. He thinks. He knows he still isn't thinking clearly. There's that small buzz in the back of his mind, a voice like Father Lantham's telling him that the thirst for violence, a desire for it, wasn't God's way, wasn't welcome among the faithful of his children. But Matt wants violence, and he's dressed as the devil to do it. He drops down in front of them, and there it is, the delightful beat of racing, scared hearts. Matt tilts his head at them. You've really messed up. Fuck, oh shit! One of them says, being surprisingly reasonable, and he takes a step back. Their hearts are racing, sweat is building thickly along their backs, and the sight of fear is overpowering alongside the smell of... Matt freezes. Anticipation? Excitement? He frowns. They're afraid, yes, that is for certain. All of their hands, though, go to their backpacks, and Matt tries to place what they're getting, one hand at his side, ready to grab a baton when... He huffs and shakes his head. Masks? Really? We're already looking at each other. Two of them tilt their heads, confused, which just confuses Matt further, because that's what they've done. Put on masks. It's not something Jean-Paul mentioned, but Matt didn't want to press for details or descriptions lest Jean-Paul get suspicious. Better safe than sorry. And his sense of smell was very good. Masks? Then something pops, and that smell of sulfur increases practically 1,000-fold, and Matt... Maybe it's the whole world that goes slack, and maybe it's just his body. The effect is the same. He inhales, and he thinks, maybe he has been obliterated. Or maybe he has been remade. Maybe these are the same thing. Something touches his face, and for a second, he lets it. Closes his eyes and leans into the touch. Hears the hiss of people's voices. Words he can't make sense of. He's somewhere. He's here. Someone is touching his face, and he thinks it reminds of him of something, but he doesn't know what. There's a spark of wrongness. There's a spike of something that could be God. He takes the person's hand. They're making a noise. They're resisting. And he's just taking the hand and holding it. And they're not touching his face anymore. No, no, no. He's holding their hand. They try to pull away. He holds on. They shove their body closer and say, "Don't just stand there, help me." The others laugh. They laugh, and this person is moving their hand, moving the thing in their hand, saying, "Fuck this," and elbowing him in the base of the throat, knocking his chin back. He blinks. He thinks he sees something. There's a world on fire around him, and they just... He takes their hand back, or the thing in their hand, and he doesn't know if they struggle. Then he touches their face like they did his. He touches it without feeling it, only the pressure of the weight, the sweet, sick gouge of metal. He touches us over and over and over, and he smells eyes. He smells eyes. He hears voices, more heartbeats. He can't count them all, doesn't remember if there was ever supposed to be a number. He thinks something is wrong. He drops the face. He drops its reflection, this person with no eyes, and he steps away. People are saying something. People are running away. He thinks maybe he shouldn't be here. He takes a step back. There's a world exploding around him. There's a warm body in front of him. Something is wrong and he stumbles away, thinks he needs to bury himself, be buried somewhere because something in him has died, maybe. Maybe. Best to bury just in case. He stumbles somewhere else, and he smells gunpowder. He thinks maybe someone has fired. He thinks something rocks against the skull and sends him sprawling, hissing. This time, he gives the hands no chance to be gentle when he slumps the baton into them. The force reverbs in his arm, up his skull, knocks inside his head like a bullet, and he has the vague sense that whatever was in the air, the sulfur, that something, is beginning to burn him from the inside out. The world on fire makes sense. He is the world, and he is coming down in flames. He knows that's not... He's supposed to be buried, not... He finds himself beneath. The world is quieter than he thinks is normal. But there's something grabbing at his lungs. Something pounding in his head. Something needs to be done. The pain means he lives. And as delightful as the pain is, the living is wrong. It's all wrong. It's... He collapses somewhere. His head is trying to string words together, make things make sense, he shakes his head, grits his teeth. He can't make sense of where he is. He isn't positive about what's happened. He thinks he's dying, knows he's dying, but it hits him in two separate waves. But he can only place one. Something's already killed him, and he doesn't even know what it is, remember what happened. Something else is currently killing him, and he doesn't know what that is either. Something is... His phone is in his hand and he's finishing saying something, sending something. There's a reply. He doesn't recognize the name, but he recognizes the feeling. That it has to be enough. He has to trust it. He has to trust the feeling, the unfamiliar name that refuses to stick in his brain. He's dying. Someone is looking for him. Maybe his God is coming to claim him. He let Paul see, and he has not let him. What is his name? The fear beats fast in his heart, the death pounds too, but he's fine. He'll be fine. He'll be fine. He'll be just fine.